don't have to pray. I don't have to ask God. I don't have to fast over it. I don't have to discern it. I know if you're married right now that it is God's will for your marriage to work out by His grace.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Jobe. Welcome to Straight Talk. I want to tell you that it's such an incredible privilege to be able to come to you via the airwaves practically every day of the week. And I don't take that responsibility lightly. I believe that some of you have entrusted me with time every week to hear the instruction from the Word. And I pray for our radio listeners, and I pray for those of you that are out there slugging it out in the trenches. I realize that there's some of you listening to me right now who the big burden on your soul is your marriage. I know that some of you are listening right now and you have a wayward son or daughter that's become a prodigal, and you've prayed and tried to reach out to them, but you've reached the end of your rope in knowing what to do humanly, but you believe that there's still hope in God. Some of you are at a place of financial crisis where you don't know where the next mortgage payment is going to come from. There are some of you right now listening to this program that you're in cancer treatment and your life is hanging on the edge, and one chemotherapy session to the another, you just don't know if you can make it. There's someone here that has broken up with a longtime boyfriend or girlfriend, and you thought it was leading to marriage, and your dreams and expectations have been shattered. I know that there are people listening to this program right now that desperately need to hear from God. You need to know that God is not distant and far. You need to know that the heavens are not brass. You need to know that God still hears. Well, I hope that my voice today would be able to encourage you, remind you, be a sense of hope and inspiration that God has not abandoned you, that your prayers are not in vain, that God still keeps His promises, that God is aware of your situation, that there is a God that is sovereign above the universe, and nothing is too hard for God. I want to remind you, I want to build your faith. I don't want you to lose hope. I want you to hang on, persevere, because God is not finished with you yet.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. We continue on with Pastor Mark's series called Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage today with the second half of his message called Being Content, No Matter Who You Married. Our text will continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 24. Here's Pastor Mark with this edition of Straight Talk.
The Bible says that when you marry someone, the two become what? The two become one. And because you're sanctified and have God in your life, you're splashing over to Him, whether He has a belief or not in His life. And what happens is God sets Him apart unto Himself, and God has a special work, a special word, a special protection, a special blessing on His life by the mere fact that He's married to you. I love that. This is how it works. Hear me well. He could be saying, I want nothing to do with that God, but yet God is still splashing on His life because He's sanctified. Now, I want you to understand what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that He's saved. How many of you know that the only way that we come into right relationship with God is a personal relationship with God? You know, it's not because He's rubbing shoulders with you that suddenly He gets salvation. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen through osmosis. God doesn't have any grandchildren. He doesn't even have any great-grandchildren. He only has children. You can't grab onto the skirts of your mother and say, she was a godly woman. I hope I'm going to sneak behind her skirts and that God's going to accept me. No, you have to have your own relationship. The same with your husband. He is sanctified, not saved, because he's in a relationship with you. And here's what the Bible says, or your wife. And the Bible says, otherwise your children would be unclean. But as it is, they are holy. Some of you are worried about your children because you have a spouse that doesn't believe. And the Bible says that because you are sanctified, what happens is that you also make your children holy or sanctified or set apart unto God because your faith splashes over on them. And you become an umbrella of protection over your children because you believe. Now, they may have other influences, but they are set apart. God says they're set apart unto me. I have a special protection, a special umbrella, a special blessing on their life because you believe. That's powerful, isn't it? Now, let me clarify this. Notice what it continues to say. It says in verse 15, but if the unbeliever leaves, let him do so. A believing man or woman is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. He's saying, if this unbeliever decides, I don't want to be married to you. I don't like your faith. I don't like your church. I don't like your heart. I don't like your change. I don't like you. And they decide, I don't want to be married to you. And they walk out the door and abandon you. The Bible says that you're not bound to say, okay, well, even if they abandon me, I got to live with them and be married to them for the rest of my life. I don't know where they're at. I don't know where they're living, but I'm still married because I'm bound. No, the Bible says if they leave you, if they abandon you, if they choose to not be married to you, then you are not bound to that marriage anymore because God has called us to peace. And he goes on to say, in verse 16, how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Because you see, certain people were saying, well, I'm going to stay married to him even though he's abandoned me because maybe I'll be able to lead him to Christ. Maybe I'll be able to save him. Maybe I will be able to convert him. And it says, how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? There's no guarantee. Listen, I know you've been praying for your husband for a long time. I know you've been praying for your wife for a long time. There is no guarantee that your husband or your wife will ever come to Christ. Now, they have a lot better chance because they're married to you. They have a lot better chance because you're splashing over on them, but there's no guarantee that that's going to happen. Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? If they abandon you and leave you and you say, well, they're living with another woman, they don't know the Lord, but I'm going to stay married to them. I'm going to stay faithful to them. God says, no, you're not bound to them. You're not under obligation because there's no guarantee that you're going to lead them to Christ. No guarantee that they're ever going to be saved. In those circumstances, if you're abandoned, you are not bound. Now, here's what I want you to understand. The Bible makes very clear this. It's the before and the after. Before you get married, I want you to hear me well. Do we have a lot of singles here this morning? Just kind of nod at me if you're single, okay? Before you get married, let me tell you what the Word of God says. Before you get married, the Word of God says this. Do not be yoked together with an unbeliever. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? Or what harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Before you get married, it says don't even date a non-believer. You say, well, pastors are so cute. Yeah, I'm glad they're cute. But the Bible is very clear. Listen, the cuteness is going to fade. But some of you are going to get involved in a relationship with someone that doesn't have a heart for Jesus, doesn't love God, is not at the same spiritual place where you are at spiritually. And it's all nice and well. You're all going to be happy that you got married and you're going to be enjoying it. And nice to have a husband and nice to have someone beside you. But 2 years into marriage, when you're sitting alone in a church service and when you want to pray and he's not there to pray, when you want to raise your kids in God and he's not raising his kids in God, when you want to teach the word and he doesn't believe it, when you're trying to give him some faith and he has no interest in it, you're going to be alone asking yourself this question, why did I marry him? The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. You know what a yoke is? I know you're not farmers, so you're not used to yokes. I brought this all the way from Spain. Believe me, it wasn't easy. This yoke came from a village in northern Spain. Someone told me it's probably over 100 years old. And what happens with a yoke is that one oxen goes in one part of the yoke, and another oxen goes in the other side of the yoke, and together they drag a cart around, okay? Now, You put two oxen that are the same size and have the same mind, and they can carry the cart very well. They kind of go along very well. Now, if you get a real big oxen and a little oxen, and they have different mindset, you know what? They can make progress, but it's not going to work very well. And what God says to you is that you are a believer. If you yoke yourself together with an unbeliever, then you will regret it in the end. You say, well, Pastor, I'm dating, and where's he at spiritually? Well, I'm not really sure where he's at spiritually. Well, why don't you know where he's at spiritually? That should be question number one. Where's he at? You say, well, Pastor, I think he has a Bible in his house. Great. I'm glad he's got a Bible. And you know what? He's got a little cross earring. Oh, that's great. But does he love God like you love God? Does he believe the way you believe? Does he walk in God? Does he want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Does he want to follow God like you want to follow God? Because if he doesn't, I don't care how cute he is. I don't care how handsome he is. I don't care what kind of car he drives, what kind of job he has. He is not for you, period. And I know some of you say, well, you know, I'm just dating him. I'm not really interested in marrying him. Can I give you another rule? If he's not marriage potential, don't date him. You say, well, Pastor, you know, it's a free dinner. Okay. He's jobless. He's an addict. He's obsessive compulsive stalker, and you're going to get a dinner out of it? Listen, if he is not spiritually where you want someone to be, spiritually compatible, then you do not date him. The Bible is clear about it. Don't entertain it, because when you walk the aisle, you want to walk the aisle with a man or a woman that's at the same place spiritually that you are, that loves God, that follows God, that wants to raise a family in God. That is non-compromising. You say, Pastor, well, I wish I would have heard that before I married this guy. Well, here's the after. The after is once you say, I do, you say, okay, Pastor, well, you know, I married outside of the will of God. It was obviously wrong, so can I get rid of him now? No. Here's what the Bible says. Before you get married, you should marry someone that you're equally yoked with. Once you stand at the altar and say, I do, from that day on, it's God's will that your marriage work. Before you get married, it's God's will that you marry someone that you're spiritually compatible with. But even if you did not marry someone that you're spiritually compatible with, the moment that you say, I do, it becomes God's will that your marriage work and that you work it out. You say, well, I don't understand it. I don't understand it either, but it's the will of God and the word of God. So we take it at face value.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Being Content No Matter Who You Married. It's from our series called Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 24. Our message today is called Being Content No Matter Who You Married.
So if you're here today and you made a mistake, you say, well, I made a mistake, and if it was not God's will, then can't I get out of this marriage? No. If you said I do, it is God's will. I know right now if you're married, I know that it's God's will for your marriage to work. I know it. I don't have to pray. I don't have to ask God. I don't have to fast over it. I don't have to discern it. I know if you're married right now that it is God's will for your marriage to work out by His grace and by His power. It's God's will. Now, he goes on, and we wrap up this time with the last couple verses. Now he changes the focus, and you see that the last couple verses he deals with are verse 17 through 24. Notice what it says. He says, nevertheless, Each one of you should retain the place in life that God has assigned him and to which God has called him. The next statement is this. He's talking to all believers, and he tells every believer, I'm content to embrace my calling. Listen, here's the point that he's making. He's saying every person should retain the place in life that the Lord has assigned and to which God has called him. People wanted to change. Singles wanted to get married. Married people wanted to get divorced. They wanted to change. They thought after they came to Christ, I changed my status. And what the Apostle Paul is arguing, no, that whatever God has called you, if you're single, then realize right now God has called you as a single. Now be content as a single. Embrace your calling in life. Embrace your mission field as a single. If you're married and you become a believer, don't start asking, how can I get out of my marriage? Start saying, I embrace my calling. My calling is as a married person, and I embrace my calling. I embrace my mission field. If you became a believer and you were a part of a troubled marriage, then part of your call is a believer to a troubled marriage. And that's part of your challenge. How do I make my marriage work? That's what he says. Listen, he says, this is the rule that I lay down in all the churches. Verse 18. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? In the Jewish custom, little boys would get circumcised on the eighth day. And Paul is using this external act and says, hey, were you already circumcised? Which is, I'm not going to go into the details of circumcision, but it's cutting a little piece of the flesh off of the male organ. And he says, were you already circumcised when you were called? Was a man already circumcised? He should not become uncircumcised. I'm not really sure how that happens, but listen, he says, if you're circumcised, don't try to become uncircumcised. And if you became a believer and you weren't circumcised, then don't become a believer and try to get circumcised. In other words, this is just the exterior. Whatever God called you in, be content how God called you. Notice what he says, verse 19, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing because it's just the outside. Listen, keeping God's commands, it's what counts. Not your exterior circumstances. Someone says, Pastor, you know, I got saved. I got this tattoo all over me. I had a friend who got saved and he had tattooed of a naked woman all up and down his leg. And after he became a believer, he didn't like it. He felt like, you know, this is, you know, not like the godliest thing to be walking around with. But it was tat all over his leg. So I didn't tell him to do anything about it. He kind of asked me. I said, well, you know, it's not the greatest symbol to be walking around with. But hey, you know, what are you going to do about it? So next time I saw him, he actually got tattooed over that tattoo. And he put like a little dress on the tattoo that he had. So at least he was creative, right? But the point is, whatever you're called, and that's who you are. Some of you have been called and you have this or you have that, and you have whatever you have been called in a certain circumstance. And God says, it's not about changing the outside. It's about changing the inside. In fact, listen to what he says. He says, verse 21, were you a slave when you were called? In this time when the Apostle Paul was writing, there was slavery, and it was practiced among the Roman Empire in a big way. And so there are certain people to which Paul was writing who found themselves in the institution of slavery. And he says, were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. Paul's not endorsing slavery. He's simply saying, hey, if you're a slave and you came a believer, hey, if you can get your freedom, great. But if you can't get your freedom, that's your calling. You're a slave. Live out your Christianity even in this place of slavery. It's like if someone gets saved and they're in prison. They get saved and they're in prison. It's not, you know, Paul doesn't say, here's the shovel, start digging a tunnel. He says, you know, If you get saved and you're in prison, that's your call. That's your ministry. Maybe it's your ministry to minister to other prisoners. And live out your Christianity in whatever circumstance you are. If you're here right now and you get saved and you're sick, guess what? The hospital may be your mission field. If you're right here and you have, and you become a believer and you're a plumber, guess what? the plumbing community may be your mission field. You don't have to change jobs. You don't have to look for something else. Whatever God has called you in, that's your calling. And he goes on and he says, verse 22, for he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freedman. I love that. He's talking to slaves who were property of some wealthy person. And he tells the slave, he says, you know what? They may think they own you, but once you come to Christ, you are no longer their property. You are free in Christ because Christ has set you free. And then he talks, and then he says to the people that are free, he says, and if you were called as a free man when he was called, now you are Christ's slaves. To the slave, he says, you're free. To the free person, he says, hey, when you give your life over to Christ, you are Christ's slaves now. That's your calling in life. And then he ends up this time together, verse 23 and 24. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves to men. You have been bought by the price, by the blood of Jesus. You have been called. You have been bought. Your life belongs to God. It doesn't belong to any other person, any other individual. Regardless of your circumstance in life, brothers, verse 24, each man, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation that God has called him to. Let me close with this. If you're a father today, embrace your fatherhood. Well, I never wanted to become a father. It was a mistake. I don't care. Well, you don't know her, and she's trying to get money out of me. You're a father. Step up to the plate and be a father. That is your kid. I don't care if you wanted it to happen or didn't want it to happen. You have been called. You have been called to Christ, and you're a father. Now take financial responsibility. Take parental responsibility. Take time responsibility. Invest in that kid because you are a father, and that's just God has called you already in the state of being a father. Take responsibility. So, Pastor, I never... You know, it was a big mistake. I was drunk when I got married. I was pregnant. I don't know. We've had a lot of problems in this marriage. I mean, it's just not a good thing. Listen, did you get saved when you're married? Is your marriage full of trouble? Hey, God has called you. And right now you're a believer in a troubled marriage. Embrace it. Don't try to escape. Don't try to look for the easy way out. Say, right now I'm in a troubled marriage. Embrace it by God's power. Throw yourself into it and say, God, change me. Give me the grace to love this man or love this woman. Because right now that's my calling. I embrace it. I step into it. The call that God has upon my life. Are you a single right now? If God has called you as a single individual, then embrace it. And just determine right now, as a single, that's my call, that's who I am, that's where I am right now. I'm going to grace it by God's power. I'm going to be abstinent sexually until God leads me into marriage. I'm going to embrace my singleness and live it out as a Christian because that is my calling right now. You say, Pastor, you don't know my situation, how difficult it is. And you know what? I don't. But here's what I do know. That whatever your situation, God has given you the grace that you need to handle it. You say, I can't forgive my husband one more time. You know what? I know you can. You say, Pastor, as a single, I can't remain sexually pure. It's just impossible. I've opened up this door. And you know what? By God's grace, if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, I know you can. You know why? Because God has called you in that situation. And God never calls you to a place that he doesn't give you the grace to handle. His undeserved, unmerited power and favor upon your life. And that is God's call for you today. Let's stand together.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago with his message entitled, Being Content No Matter Who You Married. It's from his current series called Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for Part 6, To Marry or Not to Marry. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a new Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.